Karima Brown, live, online, smartphones, DSTV, and 92.7 and 106 FM.
8 minutes after 8 o'clock, it seems as if there is nowhere in the state that Busasa's reach could not go. We've just learned that a Pretoria magistrate has also received security upgrades at his house. And he, of course, joins a whole long list of other officials in different spheres of our government. In the case of Nomvula Mokonyane, who's a cabinet minister, Gwede Mantashe, who's a cabinet minister, Deputy Minister Tabang Makwetla, and of course the African National Congress MP Vincent Smith, all had their houses installed with electric fences, CCTV cameras, and even maintained, all at the expense of the company. Leroux was summoned to appear before the commission as a witness to corroborate the testimony of another former employee of Busasa, Angelo Agrizi. He is still under the employ of the facilities management company, working as a regional technical coordinator for Global Technology Systems, which is a subsidiary of Busasa. Well, to unpack all of this, joining me now to reflect on some of the damaging information and allegations that are coming out is Advocate Stephanie Fick. She's, of course, the head of legal affairs at ARTA. Advocate Fick, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Good evening.
Now, of course, Mr. Leroux just continued to break down in more granular detail the extent of Busasa's reach into the state. We've just heard breaking news that a Pretoria magistrate is also implicated, which of course makes us very worried, because we know that it is the judiciary that's been holding the line in some instances where other parts of the government has failed us. But let's listen first to Mr. Leroux detail the work done on Project Blouberg, a property belonging to Environmental Affairs Minister Nomvula Mokonyane in Krugersdorp.
In respect of whose property was this project undertaken?
This property belonged to Nomvula Mokonyane.
And when was this project undertaken?
I was contacted in 2013 by Gavin Watson. He instructed me to meet him and Angelo Grizzi at the premises of Nomvula Mokonyane.
And did you meet Mr. Gavin Watson and Mr. Agrizi at the property of Ms. Nomvula Mokonyane?
I did, Chair. Chair, basically what Gavin instructed me to do was he instructed me to look at the electric fence, the CCTV system, the generator, the distribution board, because they were having problems with things tripping, the pool pump, the swimming pool, which was going green all the time, which was due to the pool pump, and we had to install a distribution board there.
That is, of course, Mr. Roo's testimony. Now, Advocate Fick, the extent of Busasa's reach into the upper echelons of the governing party, and now we hear a magistrate in Pretoria, makes one worry about the way in which the governing party was easily bought, isn't it? And Ms. Nomvula Mokonyane is no stranger to controversy. I mean, she's the one minister that the head of SCOPA, Themba Gordy, said should actually not ever be a cabinet minister. He actually called Gugile Nkwinti, who's taken over from her in water and sanitation, in to brief him to say that he's actually taking over a hollow department, a hollow ministry with no budget, with no staff. Are you in any way surprised at the names that have come out today?
No, it's sad to say, but no, it's what is fascinating is I think that we all went into the Site Capture Commission. We thought that we're going to hear everything about the Guptas.
Yes.
Here comes the first witness into Busasa, and then you realize that. And I don't think this is a good thing or a bad thing, but you realize how big State Capture was.
Yes.
And we were all so focused on the SOEs, and here comes Busasa, that's a private company, and they did business with various state departments. And like I said, I think my hair stands up every time I hear this. And what are we going to find? And if this happened in Busasa, I'm wondering where else?
Yes.
Where is all the skeletons going to come out from?
Absolutely. And of course, the big question that one needs to ask is, of course, Shamila Batoy takes over as the head of the NPA tomorrow. I spoke with you last week on the television program, The Fix, and we said that her to-do list is so long. I mean, it's actually intimidating. And she's got two of her deputies that are actually facing an inquiry into their fitness to be in their positions. And we saw today the damning evidence coming out from someone like Willy Hofmeyer speaking about how Ms. Jiba actually obstructed this issue. The reason why I'm mentioning this is that the SIU yesterday told us that the Busasa docket, they actually gave it to the NPA almost 10 years ago. What do we make of the state of the NPA, considering that Busasa was actually fingered 10 years ago, and that the NPA successively with different heads did absolutely nothing about it?
I think it's becoming clear that I think a lot of us realize that there's something wrong in the NPA, and that when Advocate Sean Abrams came in, that there's things happening and prosecutions. But I think we can also see a bigger picture. We can see that specific people were used. I think it was also testified in that commission that
yes,
they specifically targeted other advocates,
yes,
that tried to prosecute, tried to bring these things to the fore. And I'm, for example, sitting here thinking about, if we think back to the Aurora debacle, and we try to think, but is there ever a prosecution in this matter? No. We happen to know that hopefully there will be a prosecution soon. But so all this is sort of starting to fall into place. So there were specific people in the NPA that was used to make sure, suppress, I think, certain investigations.
Yes.
And then if there's an investigation or if there's a potential prosecution, to try and suppress the prosecution.
Yes.
But either, if one had to look at what came out, is that I have to assume that documents disappeared,
yeah,
or dockets were handed to complainants, or then you target the prosecutor. Or also one of the tactics that they use is then in the investigation,
yeah,
to change investigating officers.
Yes.
So we haven't heard about any capture in the police, but
yes,
I think it's coming, because the same sort of modus operandi was used in the police. Make sure that, you know, you get an investigating officer, just gets into these difficult and hard investigations, and then he's removed. So the next one has to start all over again.
Absolutely. And I mean, today we heard someone like Willy Hofmeyer talk about the interference in the Celebi case. We heard about the interference in the Busasa case. We know about the interference in the Pravin Gordhan case with completely trumped up charges. I mean, Sean Abrams, the Justice Minister, was at Lithuli House the day before Mr. Pravin Gordhan was actually charged, to great fanfare. And then, of course, they had to step down because the case had no basis in legality. But to come back to the question of Busasa, and it's important to link all of these things, because the public is already getting so fatigued by all of these commissions of inquiry, and there's almost like an information overload that is coming. Let's take a listen to Busasa talking about, or Mr. Roo rather, talking about the fact that Mining Minister Gwede Mantashe, who was at the time the ANC Secretary General, also got upgrades. And his project was, of course, called, the code name for doing the upgrades was called Project Mantashe.
Paragraph 29 to 30 of your statement, you speak of another project in respect of whose property was the special project undertaken.
this property belonged to, well, the three properties belonged to Gwede Mantashe.
And how do you know that the property belonged to Mr. Gwede Mantashe?
Because it was said to me by Papale Shabane, one of the directors at African Global.
And what was Mr. Papale Shabane's involvement?
I'm not sure what his involvement is there. I was just instructed to go and do three residences of Mr. Gwede Mantashe.
And you were so instructed by Mr. Papale Shabane?
It was instruction from Papale Shabane, yes.
You've just stated that there were three properties.
That is correct, Chair.
Can you recall the areas?
The one area was in Boksburg in 29.1. 29.2 was in Elliot, Eastern Cape. It was a farm. And 29.3, it was Carla in the Eastern Cape.
Now, those are, of course, the three properties involving Mr. Gwede Mantashe. Now, Mr. Mantashe went on behalf of the African National Congress to the Zondo Commission of Inquiry to speak about the organization. And we've constantly been told that it's not the ANC that is on trial, that it is the individuals. And so Mr. Mantashe will obviously have to come back to the commission to explain to us why it is that Bosasa would put in security facilities at three of his properties, costing hundreds of thousands of rands, and what they wanted in return for it. I mean, if we look at the fact that they started in correctional services, Advocate Fick, and just moved everywhere. I mean, clearly, it is more than Mr. Zuma that actually has to account. Mr. Mantashe, the current chairperson of the African National Congress, will have to return to the commission to answer these questions.
Now, of course, and I think, I'm actually for a loss for words. They will have to come and explain. I'm just thinking that it's so sad that I think this was reported last year already, and now we're hearing this revelation.
Yes.
And as we are listening to all these revelations and we remind ourselves about the explanation, again, the question is, State Capture Commission, lovely, and we need to hear all these revelations. But can one hope that someone investigated this?
Mm.
Yes. Mr. Mantashe, you must come and explain. You must be given the opportunity to explain.
Yes.
And let's hope. Maybe there is an invoice or two showing that I actually paid for this money. In fact, that Bosasa installed these cameras and security paraphernalia that there's legitimate invoices.
Mm.
Although then one should then also find an explanation why on Bosasa's side they dealt with all of this very controversially. We heard that documents were destroyed. And
yes.
Why project names?
40,000 documents. 40,000 documents,
yes,
were actually destroyed. And
yes.
And I mean, why? In this time, as the commission is actually sitting, no one has raided Mr. Gavin Watson's house. No one has gone to the Bosasa head offices.
Oh, exactly.
In fact, the government is, in fact, still continuing with Bosasa contracts as we speak. I mean, clearly, there should be pressure on the president to cancel all the Bosasa contracts immediately, Advocate Fick.
Yes. While you go through the list, it's that's absolutely, absolutely correct. I was when I read this, and it sort of, you know, it gives me a smile, and then on the other hand, it raises questions. Read today that the Human Rights Commission is going to investigate the racism charges.
Yes.
Great, against Mr. Agrizi.
Yeah.
But where's the other institutions?
Yes.
Investigating the things that you've just listed.
And with the speed, and with the same speed that the Human Rights Commission is coming. Mr. Agrizi,
yes,
is a self-confessed racist. The Human Rights Commission immediately got onto their job, as they should, like a proper Chapter 9 institution, and charged him. Now, where's the police doing the same thing? I mean, we already saw Mr. Duduzani Zuma's case being thrown out, Advocate Fick, as a consequence of trying to tie it to the Zondo Commission of Inquiry that can very well go to 2023. We should actually laud the Human Rights Commission for coming immediately to the party, and of course, all the other enforcement agencies that can act against these people should be doing their work.
So I can learn. So I can really learn a lesson. This is what we need. This is the type of action we need. I was just thinking about, is the AFU preparing affidavits
yes.
to go and see some of the properties and hopefully get some of the money back? Are we looking to recover some of the money? Are we actually investigating whether some of these people that's implicated, you know, are we were the tax returns properly filled out and
exactly.
returned to SARS?
Yeah, and we saw also the fake invoices was a big part of how Bosasa actually laundered money. Let's take a listen to Mr. LeRoux detailing how the former SA Airways boss Dudu Myeni's Richards Bay property was also upgraded. And of course, there we saw that the house was robbed and that they were asked questions and they kept on referring back to Bosasa to say, you know, how must they manage the situation? But it again points to the fact that there must have been collusion with the police because, you know, Bosasa went to Ms. Myeni's house in plain clothes and unmarked cars. Let's take a listen to Mr. LeRoux delivering that testimony.
31 to 42, you speak of another property. In respect of whose property was the special project undertaken?
Yes, it was, Chair.
In respect of who?
Dudu Myeni.
And can you recall how many properties were attended to?
Only the Richards Bay property.
And at whose instruction was this special project undertaken?
Trevor Matendra and Gavin Watson.
Was any special name given to the project?
No, Chair. Not to my recollection.
And can you recall when this project was undertaken?
I can't recall the month or the year when it was undertaken.
Did you attend personally to the property in Richards Bay?
Can I explain how we...
No, first answer yes or no. Did you personally attend to the property in Richards Bay?
That's correct, Chair.
And were you accompanied by anyone?
By Trevor Matendra, Chair.
And who is Trevor Matendra?
He's one of the directors at African Global.
And how did you get to Richards Bay?
Well, maybe let's start with this. How did it come about that you attended to this project?
Chair, I was phoned by Trevor Matendra, and I was told that I had to meet him at the office the very next morning.
That is, of course, an account of what happened at Ms. Dudu Myeni's house. Now, what is very interesting is that we thought that Mr. Zuma and the accolades of Mr. Zuma and those who were close to him were only linked to Gupta led state capture, but they are as involved in the Bosasa case as possible. I mean, Mr. Gavin Watson imitated the way he normally speaks to President Jacob Zuma, and he implicated President Jacob Zuma. So Bosasa and the Guptas both were in fact dealing with people that were part of President Jacob Zuma's inner circle. Bosasa was just there before the time, and it looks as if the only difference between Bosasa and the Guptas is that the Guptas totally captured the president of the country, and he allowed them to actually make executive decisions about who should serve in the cabinet or not. I mean, that's about the only difference we can pick up here.
Yes. Although one has to wonder, we are in the infancy stages of maybe all the revelations that was also. Maybe we will still hear in future. You know, maybe we will hear some other revelations. But yes, it is. It's very interesting to see how all of this unfolds. And I come back to what we said is that, you know, we were hoping to hear all the Gupta inside stories, but yeah, it's Bosasa. And again, that is a classic, in my opinion, Yeah. Classic example of state capture.
Absolutely. Now, the question of the pressure. I mean, we've got a lot of pressure on the NPA to act. We've seen how different members have just sat. I just want a comment from you as a closing comment. Ms. Shamila Batoy starts her job tomorrow. What is the most important thing on her to-do list, do you think?
Unfortunately, I do not envy her position because I don't think I will be able to prioritize what needs to be done. Firstly, we are of the opinion that she will have to look inwards. She will have to look at her team. She will have to go look at all the fraught apples and get rid of them.
Absolutely.
And then at the same token, get all the people, they are good advocates and prosecutors in the NPA, to get them together again. And then with that team, start doing their job. And then what will be, for me, I think, more important is that she's got the enormous staff to turn to the public and say, you can trust me again.
Mm.
I'm here to change. I'm here to let the, I think the wheels of justice, I've always said the wheels of justice, sometimes it's turning a bit slowly, but it's always been turning. I think it came to a grinding halt.
Yes.
She will have the task to say to the South African people, the wheels of justice are actually going to start turning again in your favour. We are going to fight on your behalf again. We are going to go after these criminals and start the process.
And absolutely, people will have to be charged and go to jail. Thank you so very much to Advocate Stefanie Fick. She's the head of legal affairs at Outer. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to continue this conversation with Sunday Times columnist and Business Day columnist Peter Bruce, who wrote a really interesting piece about a number of issues. He also touched on what Shamila Batoy has to do tomorrow. So we're going to start off there, but he's also raised some really interesting questions about the potential for splits in the opposition party, something that we will explore, which involves, of course, the controversial premier of the Western Cape, Ms. Helen Zille.